Where do we start this? And the answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls. I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Sell or Die. My name is Jeffrey Gittimer. I wrote the Little Red Book of Selling and the Sales Manifesto, and this is the greatest sales podcast on the planet. I'd like to introduce you to the great Jen Gluckow.
That's me. What's up, everyone? I'm Jen Gluckow, founder and author of Sales in a New York Minute. Thank you for being with us today. Thank you for hitting play. We are excited to be here in your ear because today's a very special day.
Yeah, it's hump year.
It's the middle of the sales year, okay? Yeah. It is the middle of the sales year. This is super important because now is a great time to think about, A, what you've achieved, or maybe you're thinking about what you haven't yet achieved. But now is a great time to think about all those amazing accomplishments, all those great things you've achieved, and what you're going to do for the remainder of the selling year.
Now, unfortunately, there is this whole thing that happens in the sales world about making your sales plan or your quota, or as some big companies call it, making your number, whatever the hell that means. And you focus on how many sales you've made rather than how can you improve to blow that number away. That's what absolutely drives me nuts. Let me take you back in time a little bit. 27 years ago, give or take a year, I was asked by the Gaston County Chamber of Commerce to give a talk to all of the exhibitors for the business fair. And I'm an expert at expositions and trade shows. And I gave a 3-hour talk to people that were going to exhibit to explain to them how to give their commercial, how to attract people to their little booth, what to say to them, how to get the lead, yada, yada. How to close the deal, how to make an appointment, everything I possibly could. And keep in mind, this is before the internet. And they were going to videotape it in one of those VHS machines that where the final product is done right on the spot. It records a VHS tape. And I said, I'll do this if you give me the tape. And they said, fine. And I said, fine. And I got the tape. Now, this is a 3-hour talk, and I thought, man, I'm going to replicate this tape. I'm going to duplicate this tape. I'm going to make a ton of money. Everyone will buy the tape because I'm so damn good. I got home. I popped some popcorn. I called the cat over, and I turned on the VHS and sat back to watch the king. And I could not have given a worse performance in my life.
Oh, shit.
I was so bad that, you know how you grip the sides of the chair when you're scared or something, mm-hmm. and then you have a hard time removing your hand because you gripped it so hard? Because I'm 3 hours into this thing, and it was horrible. So I decided to watch it again and take notes about how shitty I really was. I carried that note paper with me for 3 years. And every time I gave a talk, I'd open up the note to talk about and look at what I should do. I had about 25 things on there, what I should do and what I shouldn't do. It's in the green book of Getting Your Way. I put the whole thing in the green book. But I became my own coach because I watched myself give a performance that nobody else could critique the same way I could.
Oh, yeah, you were probably way harder on yourself than anyone else.
I mean, down to the fact that I was too fat.
But Did you lose weight?
Yeah.
Okay.
But the bottom line is, or was...
Did you keep it off?
No.
Okay. But
the bottom line was that I became my own evaluator of where I was with my speaking skills at that moment in time, and it made me automatically a better speaker.
So I love that. And I know we have a diehard or two at least right now listening saying like, oh yeah, I know that, Jeffrey. Like I need to do that too. But dude or dudette, whatever you are, you're not doing that. Okay. So if you want to be the best salesperson, if you want to be great at whatever it is you're doing, take a note from someone who's been doing this for 30 years and has perfected it. I mean, I've seen lots of speakers, and you are by far, this is not just because I'm your wife now, but you are by far one of the best speakers in the world. And that didn't just come because you showed up one day.
No.
That came because of you taking your own critique, your own evaluation to heart and practicing it in and out.
And I think that you as a diehard need to understand all of the tools that we have developed for you. I mean, we have an assessment. You should take a look at that. I think we're going to talk about that a little bit later. But you're halfway through your year right now. Where the hell are you?
So your story made me think of my story.
Oh, go.
So I was a sales rep for a company, and I thought I was doing a pretty good job. I was making sales here and there. I actually started selling part-time from a different position in the company and was selling so much that they were like, you have to go into sales. So I did. And all of a sudden, now that I'm on the sales team, there seemed to be like all this pressure because I had bosses and stuff. Before I was doing it for fun. Now I have an actual, you know, boss that I'm reporting to on sales. And they said to me, so Jen, we're going to have a day where everyone presents to us as if we're the customer. And we're going to critique you and we're going to evaluate how you're doing. Now, for some reason, for me, and I don't know, diehard, if you're like this too, but getting up in front of the customer and giving the presentation and you know, trying to help them make the right purchasing decision was easy and no pressure. But doing it for your boss is so much pressure, and that created so much anxiety for me. And I like to get like A's, you know, I like to do really well. So I'm going to tell you what I did. I asked the two top salespeople, the VP of sales and one of the regional managers, if I could go on the road with them. And I recorded, I don't even know if I told them, so I hope this doesn't find its way to them. But I recorded on a little recorder device that I bought at the time. It was like $49. It was like a mini cassette thing that fits into nothing. And I recorded.
Was it like a mouse chasing a cat or something?
I recorded both of their presentations. And at that point, like dictation thing, services like Temi and Rev were not, you know, cool and easy to get to, like those transcription services. So I literally sat there and typed up every single thing they said in those two meetings and the customer objections and questions and stuff like that.
Smart move.
And I took that.
Listen, that's a brilliant move.
I took what each of them said and what I thought the customer related to the most from each of their two presentations and what I had been saying and combined it into my own presentation that I wrote out and fully scripted for me, not scripted to like sit in front of a customer, please don't ever do this, and like read your script or like do it over the phone where you're talking from a script, no bueno. But literally for me to just practice the words that I needed to say because there was a different lingo in education, and that's the kind of sales I was in. And so I practiced it probably, and I am not exaggerating to you, 100 times. I took my voice recorder and I just sat there with my voice recorder. You could do this so easily now on your computer and on your phone. Like, I had to think about how to do this. You guys have the tool in your freaking pocket or pocketbook and you walk around with it all stinking day long, okay? So I recorded it into this little device and I would play it back. And anytime I didn't like something I said or how I said it, I would stop. And I would do the whole thing over again because I was determined to do it perfectly, to say all the things I needed to say in the right way. And like, this sounds really, you know, okay, who's going to show up to a customer and just spit out all the things? No one. But I wanted to know all the things cold. I wanted to have all the things in my back pocket and know them just as well as I know my pinky finger, so that if a customer asked a question about something, I didn't even have to think. I knew exactly how to phrase it and frame it and position it in a way that would get them to make the right purchasing decision, aka buy my stuff. And so it sounds like a lot of work, but once I got over that hump, and it took me like a week of practicing day in, day out, every day, and I did that presentation, I got the top score, by the way. Mm-hmm. They were like, oh my God, yes, you go out in the field. That is amazing. Because I took the best of their stuff, combined it with my stuff, and practiced. And I think that's like a a big missing element is the practicing peace and listening to yourself.
I swear I thought you were going to say I took the best of their stuff and threw away my stuff.
No.
But listen, here's the bottom line. The bottom line is self-evaluation is a critical element in improvement. And you don't need somebody else to evaluate you. You evaluate yourself. You assess yourself and your skill level because you're going to be the most real with yourself.
Yeah.
I'm the most real with myself. I'm the most critical person of myself, and I'll put myself in a position where I'm willing to take it. I want to get better. I want to be the best. And if you want to be the best, the only way to do it is to evaluate yourself in a situation where you see you. You listen to you. You understand you. If you go out with your boss, you don't have to say, how was I? He'll tell you or she'll tell you, that's for sure. You take notes while they're doing it. Don't be defensive whatsoever, but go back still and listen to it yourself. Record your own presentation weekly and listen to it until you like it.
Now, okay, so it's the midway part of the year, This is not just about giving the best presentations. This is not just about, you know, giving the best talks or anything like that. This is about becoming the best version of yourself. And if you're in sales, which is probably you are because you're listening to us, then you need to be thinking about not just presentation skills, but how are your networking skills? How are your closing skills? How are your prospecting skills? How's your attitude and how consistent is it? Like, there are so many things you really need to be analyzing yourself on. And, you know, sometimes it's really easy. You can look at the results you're getting and determine if the results you're getting are the results you want, then you're probably doing well on the majority of the important skills. But other times you're going to have a hard time figuring out which exactly is the skill that you need to improve on. And so you need to write down these skills that I'm talking about right now: networking, prospecting, cold calling, attitude. Let's think of some others.
Presentation skills.
Yeah,
closing heat of skills, the sale. Asking question skills. But here's the deal. If you're on par to make your quota or your number or your sales plan, you're medium. Those things are made for medium salespeople, not people that excel.
Not at my company, Jeffrey. Do you know how hard those targets are?
Yeah, bullshit.
That's what people say.
Well, stop drinking, stop watching Netflix, stop doing stupid things, and you'll double your sales. But the bottom line is this. You have a responsibility to yourself, not to your company. Company be damned. This is your responsibility. This is your life. And you have a goal to achieve their goal. Make your own goal higher. Make your own goal better. And don't do stuff just because, well, that's what they told me to do. Seriously? If they tell you that you have to start every morning on the third floor and jump off onto the lawn, is that where you're going to start? You might want to go out and buy a ladder.
Okay, so I want to talk about the most foundational skill. That doesn't mean the most like basic skill, but it means the skill that's going to hold the building up. The skill that's going to create the pillar, the skill that's going to create the foundation for your success.
You want to say it together?
Okay. Attitude. I love that you knew where I was going with that. Okay, because if you don't have an amazing attitude, and I don't want to get all woo on you right now, we'll leave that for Wednesdays, but if you don't have the best attitude on the planet, a consistent positive, or what Jeffrey likes to say, yes attitude, then you can't even focus on those other skills. Like, attitude has to come first. You have to be open to learning. You have to be open to improving yourself. And you probably are, because you're listening to us, and hopefully you listen to us like every day. Okay. But there are some things you need to think about for your attitude. Like, And I just wrote this attitude assessment for my cash flow people, cash flow to CEO, that you can get on the wait list if you want to join if you're an entrepreneur. But, you know, there's different pieces to it. Like, you know, you think about, I always do this. I usually do it. I sometimes do it. I rarely do it. I never do it. And I'm not going to read you the whole attitude quiz, but I want you to think about some of these things. I start my day by checking social media and email. Oh, wait, did you know that impacts your attitude?
Of course it does.
Well, what is there like Are you constantly seeing positive stuff in the morning, or are you comparing, like, comparisonitis stuff where you, like, compare yourself to other people on social media? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, are you reacting to the things that are in your inbox? Do you watch the news? Do you worry about your bank balance? Do you get upset when there's bad weather or traffic? Do you take care of yourself first? Like, these are some of the things you really need to be focusing on in order to have a really great attitude.
Let me give you another version of assessment. I'm writing a book called Get Shit Done. And in the very beginning of the book, there's a 10-part self-assessment. Do you procrastinate? Do you force yourself to work? Are you late for things or meetings? Do you love what you do? Do you make delay excuses? Those kinds of things. Do you even lie about your achievement? These are self-assessment pieces that you get the answer for you. No one's looking over your shoulder. You're going to get a realistic picture of not just where you are, but where you need to improve. That's the key. And we have an assessment on the Gittimer Learning Academy, and it takes 10 of the skill areas of sales. Not do you have the aptitude, but rather do you have the skill? And it asks you questions about things like your presentation skills, your questioning skills, your closing skills, your networking skills, all the things that you need to do in sales, and your attitude. And it will give you a 20-page printout of exactly where you are, and it will compare your answers to thousands of other people that have taken them, so you see where you are compared to where they are.
It's sort of crazy. I've never seen such a sophisticated assessment for salespeople and really determining your skill level. I know that you have 300 questions, and don't worry, you don't fill out 300 questions, but you have a pool of 300 questions, and the user fills out 30, and those 30 then determine their skill level around each of those 10 most critical skills for selling.
But this is a time for you to look forward to the next 6 months and crack it.
Yeah.
Make it happen. Double your sales. Don't look to achieve the goal. Look to double the goal. And then if you only achieve it, look what you've done.
Before I took your assessment, Jeffrey, and realized I needed to improve my attitude and various other skill levels, because it's a pretty harsh assessment, in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to evaluate myself. And so what I would do in the morning is I would look at my morning writing, and I would determine, okay, what are my, like, I would actually just write out my thoughts, and I would analyze my thoughts and measure them and determine, okay, are these positive thoughts? Are they negative thoughts? Are they empowering me to success, to do the things I need to do? Or are they actually creating stuckness and getting in the way of my actions? And I would literally sit there in the morning and analyze my thoughts, because your thoughts determine your attitude. And so, like, and then for networking, I would keep charts. Okay. And I'm really competitive, not just with other people, but with myself. And so I would write down, okay, how many people, you know, what are my goals this week? How many people do I want to meet? How many people do I want to have coffee with? How many of those coffees do I want to turn into referrals? How many of those referrals do I want to turn into sales? And, like, I really took it to a level of intensity that I think only most
New
Yorkers would understand.
How many cups of coffee do I need before I have to pee?
Yeah. But the good thing about your assessment is you don't have to do all that work. Like, I was doing all this extra work to really analyze how I was doing as a person, as a salesperson, in my career, in my growth. Am I where I want to be? How do I get to the next level? All those kinds of things. And then I took your assessment and I was like, holy shit, you just did all the work that was taking me extra time to really measure and analyze myself. You put it all into this 30 question assessment, and in like 30 minutes, I had all the answers. And then, and I don't want this to, you know, I'm not trying to make this an advertisement, but as a user and a taker of the assessment, I can tell you that it was really helpful for me, because you put these explanations under each of the skill sets and under each of the answers, so to speak, that tells you what you need to do to take it to the next level. And I was like, oh, damn, this is exactly what I needed. Because it was like built for me and it's built for you. And for only $79, I think that's the price. It's like $79 freaking, you can figure out exactly where you are. And by the way, if you're listening to this a year from now, it's not $79 anymore. Okay. It's way more expensive. But if you're listening,
$1 million.
If you're listening to us in a timely matter, we're hosting, you're giving this away at this low price because it's the middle of the year and we really want people to easily understand where they're at so that they can get to where they need to go.
Right. So if you're listening and it's November, you're listening to an old issue and you're trying to get better to make your goal, it's way too fucking late.
You can still get it, just not at the $79 price.
No, I'm talking about way too late to make your number.
You can make next year's number.
You don't eat 31 apples at the end of the month. You eat an apple a day. And that's the one of the critical elements that has timing has to do with being able to, quote, make your number. I apologize for saying that. I'm not going to say it anymore. I want you to beat the goal that other people have set for you by setting a higher standard for yourself. And the only way you're going to be able to beat that is to literally know where you are. So you record yourself, you take the assessment, and then you start reading the books that will get you to the next level or listening to the lessons on a daily basis to inspire yourself.
You have half the year left to kick ass at networking meetings, half the year left to make the sales that you want to make and exceed your number, not their number, half the year left to make all the calls you've been trying to make, half the year left to get out of your fear bubble, break through that wall, and really achieve, you know what I'm talking about if you listen to the most recent Motivation Monday that we did on fear, but really achieve the things you've been hoping you would achieve before the end of the year.
And if you aren't where you need to be, I hate to tell you this, but your glass is half empty. And it's half the year right now, and you got to fill it up with more than you think you are capable of doing. And all you have to do is dedicate yourself to work instead of Netflix and bars on weekends and all the other crap that you do that wastes your precious time. You don't have to do it 100% of the time, but you need to go 80% you and 20% the rest of the world.
So cheers to your glass half full.
Yeah.
Until next time, I'm Jen Gluckow.
I'm Jeffrey Gittimer. I'm reminding you to get out there and sell your half full glass, even if your ass falls off.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit SellorDieNetwork.com.